Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Esther and Holly, why don't you join us?
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome. That was, which daughter? Was it Heidi or Evelyn that... Okay, so Esther and her daughters, Heidi and Evelyn, and Holly and her daughter Nora were on the Guatemala trip this weekend, and their daughter put this video together for us, that slideshow, so well done. And I'm going to hand the mic over. These gals are going to give us a little update on their trip.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, God is doing amazing and powerful work in Guatemala through the James Project, and we were so fortunate to be able to go down and experience that and be part of that. So we were part of a team of 11 women and girls that went we joined some people from CLA to go down. The James Project has about 25 teams visiting per year, and the purpose is to help fill the needs and the priorities of the project to work alongside them to accomplish their goals. This provides local job opportunities for translators, coordinators, cooks, drivers, etc. And it's also super meaningful to the kids because they actually think it's really special that we come and spend our time and our money coming to visit them, show love to them, play with them, and sponsor them in some cases. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the programs that they are working on in Guatemala. The first one is the Redeemed Women Program. This is for widows and single mothers in the community. They provide access to education and job training with the goal of economic stability within those families. They also support spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional health through teaching, training, and professional help. And they have goals for this program such as building a widow's community where they can live and support each other, and opening a bakery where they can have jobs and also help the community. Shadow of His Wings Children's Home is where we stayed. It's a 15-acre rural property with casas or homes for the children. Each home has two Guatemalan parents with their own kids sometimes, and they also have can foster up to 12 more in each home. The property also has a daycare, a psychologist's office, school, and many other services. The kids that are brought to the home are given physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care and education. There's also a transition home for kids who are 18 and older, where they don't have parents in the home, and they're taught how to be more independent and given more freedom within the community to have jobs, go to university, just become contributing members of society. And the next goals for them with Shadow is to open more locations in Guatemala. They share this vision with us. They have some properties in mind that they're working towards, and possibly expanding into other countries as well. Something meaningful for me here was I sponsored two girls while I was down there. I kind of wrestled with it a little bit because I just wasn't sure if me coming in as a white woman, I don't know, it just felt kind of strange to, maybe there was some more to that. But in the end, I prayed about it and I decided to do it. And on sponsorship night, I got to spend one-on-one time with these two girls. And it was so meaningful. I asked them at one point if they wanted to join the Fruit Loop craft that you saw. And they're like, no, we want to stay here. We want to spend more time with you. And then at the end, after the quinceañera, we had to say goodbye because we were leaving early the next morning. And one of the girls just hugged me like so tight, like she wouldn't let go. During our time there, you knew what situations these kids came from, but you didn't see it because they were so full of love and joy. But when she hugged me like that, then I was like, right, you don't have, like, you have love, but not in the way that we experience it. And then I just knew how important it was for us to come alongside them and to show love. So I'm going to be faithful to that responsibility as much as I can, as long as she's at the project. Okay, something else that they do that's really cool is it's called United in Christ, which is community and church engagement, where they bring local churches together to create a community who will care for the vulnerable, protect them from these extreme situations. And we were able to bring supplies to some local pastors, pray with them, and this was a really, really powerful time because their faith is so strong, even though they have so little. It was really inspiring. JPLA also works with the biological families of the kids at the children's home to help them become safe places because the goal is reunification when possible. They do this through teaching and training and connecting them with the local church again. And the Shadow Kids are also involved in ministering to the community. We were also given a tour of the property to see how they're working on self-sustainability. They grow and raise a lot of their own food, as you saw, and they also tithe 10% back to the community, being obedient to God in that way. They have a water purification system, and they also have installed some solar panels to provide their own energy. So they're doing some really, really cool things, and we just think it's super, super important that our church has recognized them, and we'd like to support them as best we can going forward.
I just want to give a little bit of background on Guatemala as well. When we were there, we learned that they're the third most corrupt country in the world. They've got five families that have got about 90% of the wealth, and their income, their daily income is $1.50 a day. They have also have one of the highest rates of femicide in the country. And we heard a shocking stat. Every 1.5 hours, a 10 to 14-year-old girl has a child conceived from rape. And then they have an extremely low rate of prosecution for these crimes as well. Girls end up attending an average of 2 years of school total, and about 1 or 2% attend a university. And that's one of the reasons they did this school, is these kids couldn't attend the public schools because they were just so far behind, the foster kids. James 1:27 is sort of what the James Project was founded on. I'm just going to read it for you. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We had the opportunity to meet with the executive director of the James Project because she happened to be there when we were there, and she was kind of reflecting on this verse for us. And she had an interesting way of looking at it. She said that stating the way we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world is by looking after the widows and orphans. So by focusing on these things, like the disadvantaged in general, that's how we prevent ourselves from an unhealthy focus on materialism and on our appearance versus our character and hedonism and all these things that we kind of struggle with in our first world. And we've kind of been encouraged to focus on that while we're back here in Canada as well. So, and I went to Guatemala already having traveled and kind of aware of some of these poverty issues, but for me, it also gave me a sense of unity with other Christians. Sort of this focus on others helps us not focus on masks and gender ideologies and all these other things that can get in between our religion and God. And then just, I wanted to talk a little bit about how sending teams is important. We kind of talked a lot about this, Holly and I, like, what are we actually doing here? But for when it is really helpful for them to have this infusion of energy. And then also these kids actually don't really leave that 15-acre property very much for practical reasons and also for safety for some of those kids. So you're bringing in an example of healthy relationships and families. And Tiffany, the director, was also talking about the spirit of poverty that these kids have, where they just don't know any different. And they expect that their life will continue like they've seen around them and like they've had. And this is an opportunity, even if they're just there for 3 months, to see, oh, life can be different. And this is love, and this is a Christian couple that loves us, and this is how parenting can be. And we heard so many stories of kids that were there that came back and that are now working there as social workers and teachers and lawyers. And that was really inspiring too. And the last thing is we talked about how this is actually more like a vision trip than a mission trip for us and for our kids, is it was an opportunity for our kids to just be reminded of all the advantages that we have here in Canada and to use those wisely and generously and to see the worldwide church and worldwide needs as well. And then we just wanted to thank you guys all for your support financially and prayers and everything else that we've really felt over the last kind of year as we've prepared.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I love hearing both of your hearts in that, and the struggle is real. I think traveling around the world in missions and wondering as a white woman, is that weird? Is it weird to give to that? Because and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to bless through us, to be a blessing and to transform us in that experience of the gratitude, the deep gratitude that they were able to experience. And I'm sure it ended up turning into deep gratitude for you as well. We want to invite you to hear more. On March 17th at 6:30 p.m., we're going to have a Guatemala dessert night here at the church, and it's both of the teams will give updates on their trip more in depth, and you can hear more if you're interested in going someday or if you just want to be blessed by the stories of what God is doing around the world, specifically in Guatemala, March 17th at 6:30 p.m. You can join us. And I did make a slide. I probably didn't put it into the program. Oh, there it is. Thank you. That was, okay. So there you go. March 17th, Guatemala dessert night. Thank you so much, ladies. We look forward to hearing more about that. And why don't we all stand right now? We're going to take a minute to greet one another. And children, you are dismissed to go to your classes. Adults, you've got to stand up. Like, come on, say hi to people. This is your moment. This is your break in the service. We'll be right back. We just have one more announcement for you, and that's all. And everybody said amen. March 24th, Sunday evening at 5 p.m. is our annual general meeting. And we are doing it potluck style, so come and join us for dinner. If you are a member, it's particularly important that you register quickly. The information will be going out, I believe, this week, all of the reports and whatnot. So we want you there, we need you there, and please come and hear the wonderful reports of what God has done in this last year and pray and believe together for what is to come in this year. So there you go. Why don't we prepare our hearts for the word? That really just means, please give me a moment to prepare my heart for the word when we watch those bumper videos. Well, I want to send greetings from Mike and our son Jackson and the rest of the Guatemala team. Chris Guitenbeek is on that trip. I think we have a couple pictures right up top there of them. There they are with the team, the rest of the team. Chris is three heads back in the center with his mouth wide open. they had a massive delay. Air Canada, their flight was delayed, our guys, and they missed their connecting flight as a result, and so they had to get transferred and blah, blah, blah. It was a crazy trip, but they are down there, and Jackson is already living the life, playing basketball with the kids and having a great time. So I wanted to just say hello from them. I have one more little update that I'll give later on in my message, but they are doing well, and Mike asks you to pray specifically for him because they reported that they do have long grass and the occasional snake. So he texted me. Actually, he just asked me to pray. Maybe I wasn't supposed to share that. But he just said, Lord, you gotta pray for me. He won't even watch a movie. Like, he won't, if there's a snake, he just won't watch a show. So the most recent Hunger Games was hard for him to enjoy. But anyways, we are continuing on in our series called Blessed to Be a Blessing. And I loved what Holly and Esther shared about this missions trip. And Holly was confronted with some thoughts, some thinking, some actions, wondering, you know, and feeling confused about blessing and how to be a blessing, and when is it received, and when is it confused? So I want to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about the definition. What is it? What does it mean to be blessed? Aren't we blessed to live in the Comox Valley? We are blessed. You can say yes. You're allowed. I haven't defined it yet, but don't worry. You're not wrong when you say yes. Yes, we are. Aren't we blessed to have snow in March? I don't know, the jury's still out on that one, but boy, we were convinced it was going to be gone by this morning, weren't we, Pastor Lorne? Jeepers. Aren't we blessed to have Pastor Lorne? Yeah. Ah, we are blessed. We are so blessed. We are so very blessed. You are blessed. I am blessed. But what does it mean, ultimately? What does it mean to be blessed? I have grown increasingly uncomfortable with the phrase, oh, we're so blessed to live in the Comox Valley. I'm so blessed to have this in my life. I'm so blessed to, you know, and I, like Holly expressed, I've had this conflict of like, it's times it feels icky to say that. It feels wrong. It feels weird because usually the times that I'm saying it are when things are going well or when it's something good. And it becomes lopsided in the sense that I only use I am blessed when there's good things or when bad things are absent from my life. I'm so blessed that I don't have this struggle or that we haven't gone through that. But we are blessed. But it feels weird to say that. So what do? We just had, I think Mike talked about it and a couple weeks ago and then yesterday, as I'm preparing my message on blessing and what that means, our next door neighbors came by and dropped off two huge boxes of food. That's a huge blessing. That's a massive provision. They don't know our needs, and yet they brought that, and it has blessed us. And in turn, we're able to bless others because there's no way we can actually possibly use all of it ourselves. What a blessing. We are blessed when the Lord provides. We are blessed when we have good things in our life. But it's so important to figure out for us, especially in the Western culture, what ultimately it means to be blessed. Because if we don't, or it's important because it directly impacts our view of God and how he views us and others and how we view ourselves and others. So Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are with us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision in our life. Thank you for your miraculous coming, King Jesus. Help us now to receive your word. Amen. In the Old Testament, we hear the word blessing, and it is literally translated happy. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. And it's usually, it was often, most times, many times, was used in a way that indicated earthly blessings like land and family and prosperity, provision. There's a story of Solomon and all of his riches and wealth. And God used his provision of the earthly blessings to display his glory and his realness to people. And Sheba shows up and saw the extravagant blessing of Solomon and declared that surely God is God because of it. In the Old Testament, we hear these very specific and very material blessings. It was all about the physical blessing, that God would prosper you, that he would multiply your blessing, that he would increase your land, we hear so much about this. And then something changed. In the New Testament, we don't hear about that almost at all. There's no more showcasing the extravagance of the material possessions pointing us to God. So something changed. There's something else. And what is that? We're going to read from Matthew 5 today. But before we read from Matthew 5, we're going to go into Matthew 4. And I just want to read one little verse. It's Matthew 4, 17. Jesus has moved, he's left Nazareth, and he has moved into Capernaum, where his ministry began. And it says in verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the moment where the ministry of Jesus begins. He has gone up into the mountain. He's had this temptation. He is now about to begin to teach the kingdom of heaven, and that is come near. After that moment, after he says, repent, the kingdom of God has come near, he starts showing what the kingdom of God is like. He begins to gather his disciples in relationship with him. It says later on in verse 21 that he went throughout Galilee teaching about the kingdom of God, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among all people. News spread very quickly, and people were bringing everybody with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those people having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Jesus was beginning to reveal to us what the kingdom of heaven looked like. Right after this, he begins the Sermon on the Mount, which is very interesting because when you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's pretty heavy, like a lot of it. It's the best message ever written, but it's also probably, it's a hard one to hear, you know, because he talks about murder and adultery and divorce and oaths and promises and eye for an eye, revenge, loving your enemies, prayer, fasting, and it goes on and on. But what does he start with? He starts with Matthew 5, verse 3. He starts with the Beatitudes. In verse 3, as he begins, the first words of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And as we obviously would find out, that Jesus was also persecuted in this way. Something flips, something changes. We go from these blessings of your land and blessings of prosperity and blessings of, and God displaying his glory through material possessions, drawing the nations unto him. The children of Israel were on display in the promised land for the glory and the goodness of God. And then Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven has come near, and let me tell you about it." And what does he say? "Blessed are you if you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you are meek." And we know that in today's day and age, the meek certainly are not rewarded the earth. We know that oftentimes those who mourn are not comforted. They feel very lonely. Doesn't make any sense. But this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. When we continue to live in today's day and age, I think we've continued on in this Old Testament mentality of the way to know God's blessing in your life is what you have, what you don't have, the absence of or the presence of good or bad things in your life. That is everything that the world is about today. It's about power. It's about privilege. It's about possessions. And in the Western culture, we find ourselves measuring our level of blessedness on this. But friends, that's not the way of the kingdom. Jesus came, and the first words out of his mouth on this sermon, he flipped everything upside down. And to the world, this would be foolishness, absolute foolishness. But what he's telling us here is this is the right way. This is the new way. This is the new humanity that I have come to make available to you. When we view the world as the right side up, the way of Jesus will always seem upside down and weird. Doesn't make sense. But we are called, we are invited into this new way of thinking. And when we accept that, when we enter into that, we experience just how right Jesus really is. It is no longer about material or earthly things. And the problem isn't actually the material and earthly things, right? Because God loves to provide for his children. The problem is that we have adopted the mentality that the plus or minus of possessions and a life free from trouble is the key indicator of blessing in my life. We cannot accept this any longer, friends. We cannot accept it, because if we do, how do we reconcile when good things happen to bad people? If that's the case, then God is cruel and perverted, twisted. if we accept that the plus or minus or the absence or of good or trouble and all the things in our life is the key indicator of God's blessing in our lives, how do we reconcile when bad things happen to good people? How do we reconcile when you travel around the world on a missions trip and you see people in the most destitute of earthly means, filled with more joy and more contentment than I have ever experienced in my life? I have seen this firsthand, and let me tell you, it will confront everything we know to be true about blessing when we believe that the plus or minus of earthly things is the key indicator. When we believe this to be true, we end up comparing everything we can see, that's an important word, can see, in other people's lives to our own. And we determine whether or not we're blessed based on other people's absence or what they have. You've heard the line that comparison is the thief of joy. The word blessing, makarios, or however you say it in Greek, I don't know, probably way cooler than that, is translated to happy or joy. Comparison is literally the thief of blessing. When we believe that this is the way, that it is material, that it is the plus or minus that determines God's goodness in our lives, we begin to question if he is in fact good. When we do this, we are accepting that God is the author of our suffering. And maybe he's just doing it to make us more like Jesus. Friends, that is counter-gospel. That's a big thought that I just said, and I realize that saying counter-gospel opens up a lot of cans of worms, but it robs the cross of everything that God himself sent Jesus to fulfill in our lives. Jesus was sent to deal with our brokenness, to deal with our sin once and for all. He is the perfect representation of God. It says in Matthew 24, he healed all. So why would he give my friend cancer to teach them to be more like Jesus? That's not what's going on, is it? God is not in heaven sitting thinking, I gave you Jesus, but since you won't learn, here's this calamity, here's this loss, here's this struggle. We are on the receiving end of the fallen world. We are still in that, and I think that's part of the confusion or the tension of being a believer in today's day and age, is because bad things do still happen. Hard things do still happen. And when we know that there will be a day when we experience the fullness of God's glory, there will be no more tears. There will be no more disease. There will be no more sickness. But we're still living in that. And when Jesus said that the kingdom, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was saying it is here and it is now. But the fullness of it is still to come. And so while we are here on this earth, we have the opportunity to walk in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven and still walk through trials. Bad things are not continued punishment from God. Lack of troubles in life are not an indicator that you are blessed or not. Material possessions are not the key indicator. Lack of possessions is also not a sign that you are not blessed. God delights in providing for his children. We can feel blessed and we can accept and be grateful when good things happen, when he provides. In fact, I have a picture of Chris Guitenbeek on this missions trip. I might be jumping ahead. Yeah, there we go. Look how happy Chris looks. Chris is on this team, and Mike texted me this picture, and he said, Laura, this is so amazing. The missions team, or the James Project, didn't know that Chris was an electrician. And they arrived, and the shadow of his wings compound, the 15-acre property, was having a massive power issue that just started a couple days ago, and it was affecting everything. All the power just randomly shut off. And Chris shows up, and he goes, well, I'm an electrician. He grabs his tool bag, and he has the problem completely fixed within a couple hours for them. What an amazing provision of the Lord. In fact, they're calling him God's angel sent to shadow of his wings to provide this blessing for them. God loves the people at shadow of his wings and wants to bring in miracles and use us to bring our gifts and to bless and to provide miraculously, to provide for a little girl who needs that sponsorship, to bless our neighbors with groceries. Those are blessings. But they are not the key indicator of whether or not we are blessed. When we move into the New Testament, the word makarios, it still means happy. But in the Beatitudes, we have this other way of looking at it. You'll hear a lot of different scholars talking about the blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and wrestling with it because it just doesn't quite fit with what Jesus is trying to say here. And the English language robs us of so many wonderful words that we just don't have. So Daryl Johnson uses the word in sync with the kingdom, are you who are poor in spirit? What's this guy's name? N.T. Wright. He says, now I can't remember. What does he call it? Wonderful news, you who are poor in spirit. Good job, congratulations. There are others who say, right up, right way up are you when you are poor in spirit. The funny word here that is interesting to pay attention to is for. For theirs is the kingdom. For does not mean in the future to come, it means because. So blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Well done, right up are you, because yours is the kingdom of heaven, because you have entered in to the kingdom. When Jesus went and was calling his disciples, he didn't go looking for beatitude people who had it all figured out. He gathered them, and then he said, this is the new way. Through me, you will experience the transformation in the kingdom of heaven. It is at hand, and I have come, and this will be what it looks like. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are poor in heart, pure in heart, for they will see God. It's a scary thing to look at the Beatitudes, I think oftentimes because we have looked at them as prescriptive. If you do this, you will be blessed, and then you will have the kingdom of heaven. But friends, all of this, what Jesus is explaining, all of what he is unveiling, everything that he's flipping turned up on its head is his work. It's the way of the kingdom, and so he does it in us. You don't have to strive to be pure of heart, and I think we should all say amen to that, because how many times have we just strived and strived and strived and failed and failed and failed, and we wonder and we question, am I even in the kingdom of God? Can I do this? I can't do it. I can't live up to this list. But that's not what it is. It's come to me, and I will make you pure of heart. I will make you meek. I will do the work. In Ephesians, which we're going to read here, we're going to read it twice. It's so good. And the second time is going to be even longer, so buckle up. In the book of Ephesians, in answering what does it mean to be blessed, we have a beautiful passage of scripture. Ephesians 1, verse 3, all the way down to 14, and I'm going to put my elbows on the table. It says, this is Paul writing, praise be to God, our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, before the dawn of creation, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Read the Beatitudes, the upside-downness of the kingdom, the rightness of the kingdom, which is according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, this is the longest run-on sentence in history, thank you, Paul, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And also you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, when you were marked with him with a seal, which is the promised Holy Spirit, he is a deposit that guarantees our inheritance on that day until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. Friends, we are blessed because of Jesus Christ. We are blessed because no longer did God continue to just display his glory into material possessions. He sent one who would change everything and give us a way to be transformed. Jesus came and said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what it looks like. And this is the price that I will pay so that you can be in it." So let's read this passage again. And I changed it just to help us see what blessing really is. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I am blessed because he chose me in him before the creation of this world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I am blessed because he predestined in love for me to be adopted into sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and with his will." And continuing on with the run-on sentences, "I am blessed because of his glorious grace." Next slide. "I am blessed because in him I have redemption through his blood. I am blessed because my sins are forgiven in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished upon me. I am blessed because with all God's wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he made happen through Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment in bringing unity in heaven and on earth under Christ. I am blessed because in him I am chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who first put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you are also blessed because you have been included in Christ when you heard the message of this truth, the gospel of our salvation. I'm blessed because I have been marked with a seal. I'm blessed because I have the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit here with me, with you now, guaranteeing our inheritance on that day of redemption, finally, for the praise of his glory. Friends, being blessed, hashtag blessed, ultimately and completely comes down to God making a way through Jesus Christ in our lives. We can be grateful for our things. We can be grateful for God providing. But be careful not to compare. Be careful not to adjust who God is in your life and his love for you and his goodness based on whether or not you have or whether or not you don't. We've walked through one of the hardest years of our life this past year. Some of the things continue, and I have to say that every time I preach, because guys, things continue. But I can stand here and genuinely in my heart, though I mourn, though I grieve, though I lament, though I feel at times that I've been abandoned, I know that I am blessed because the one who gave everything for me made a way that I might experience now on earth what the kingdom of heaven is like. And you and I have been given that gift so that we can be transformed and share with the people around us. We can be blessed to be a blessing. We can extend that transformation, and it's not a requirement that we have to bring. It's the work that Christ does through us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So I wonder this morning if you've lost sight. Perhaps you've gotten distracted. Perhaps you have found yourself comparing the goodness of God in your life to the goodness of God in other people's lives. Perhaps you have believed that God is punishing you. There are consequences. There are natural consequences to the choices in our life. But God is not punishing you. Life is unfolding, and He will use everything because He is good to teach us, to help us to grow. But friends, He's not withholding His love from you when you have made a mistake. He sent Jesus to deal with that. And we can enter into that today. I know that I need a reminder from His Holy Spirit today that I am blessed. I know I need to hear the stories of what Holly and Esther and the girls experienced in Guatemala, because I need a reminder that I am blessed. Not because of what they don't have, because I do have it, but because they've captured this joy of salvation, the fullness of the gift of life that Christ gives us, and how easy it is for us to lose sight of that in a Western world when we have everything at our fingertips. Jesus says, repent, turn from your ways, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven that sets us free, the kingdom of heaven that creates a new way of living in which we have eternal hope and glory. That is why we are blessed. In Jesus' name. So how do we go about seeking this blessing? We seek the face of God. We look to Jesus. Jesus said, I do everything that I see the Father do. And in fact, we learn in scripture that Jesus is the perfect representation of who God is. So we seek His face, and He does the work. And so if you have gotten distracted, if you have lost sight, if you have struggled today with equating the hardships in your life with the goodness of God, I invite you today to seek His face. Jesus did not promise that our troubles would go away. In fact, He said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart because I have overcome. And one day, friends, there will be no more tears. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more abuse. There will be the fullness of the glory of God, and we will be renewed to the fullest extent. But now, right now, even now, we have the experience, the opportunity to experience a taste of that glory through Jesus Christ. So we're going to respond in worship after I pray, and we're going to take communion together. Are you blessed this morning? Can we just thank Jesus? Can we thank God? Lord, we praise You. We thank You that through Jesus You have brought the kingdom of heaven here and now, that You revealed who You really are through the person of Jesus Christ, through the ministry of Jesus Christ, that You welcome us into that You have adopted us as sons into Your kingdom, that we will receive the full inheritance, that we have received Your Holy Spirit. God, we are blessed. We are blessed. And we thank You for all of these things. And may we always keep in mind and keep first and foremost the reason why. Thank You for my brothers and my sisters here this morning, God. And you see pain, you see the sickness, you see disease, you see the very things that confront our humanness with the nature of who You are. And because through Jesus, we experience what the will of God is, that all would be healed, all would be set free. God, we ask for a miracle in Jesus' name. I ask that you would touch the bodies in this room who are sick. We can ask that, Jesus. We can ask that of you because you paid that price. And we don't understand why there still is sickness and why some people won't experience the fullness of that healing until one day later in time. But we can ask because it is your will. And so, Jesus, would you come? Would you touch? By your stripes, we are healed. Would you bless the bodies of the people in this room this morning and those watching online, those who are home because of snow and those who are home because they are sick? Would you heal them? Touch their bodies. Tumors disappear in the name of Jesus. Sickness go in the name of Jesus. Depression and anxiety, lies, distractions, suicidal thoughts, arguments, go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we welcome you. As scary as it is, we invite the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives to make us more like you. Help us to experience and receive the fullness of your blessing in your holy and beautiful and wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Our vision is Jesus. And Sundays are special, and Sundays we get to have communion, the Lord's Supper. They're very special. I think communion means a number of different things. Two things that I would like to mention. One is it's like a memorial. We remember when we come together and we have the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And so part of this is just that we would do it often so that we will never lose sight of all that Jesus has done for us by going to the cross. The other thing I would like to mention is that it's a Thanksgiving. Some churches call it a Eucharist, a Holy Eucharist service. Eucharist, that old Greek word, simply means give thanks or thanksgiving. And Jesus, he gave thanks, and then he shared it. And we also, when we come together, we're just saying thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. So we've received bread and a cup. I'll just read a few verses that are a reminder of always what we're to do when we come together for this time. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So thanksgiving, remembrance. I've appreciated the way Pastor Micah said we can take it and we can break our little piece and then take it. Let's take together and then I'll say a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that your body was broken. It's so hard to comprehend what you went through, the suffering, the agony, in being nailed to that cross and being beaten. But you did it out of love. And so we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Then it says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The cup symbolizing Jesus' blood shed for us, let's receive together. Jesus, we are reminded. We remember. We give thanks. Thank you for shedding your blood so that we are forgiven, that we're made clean, that we are blessed. As Pastor Laura has so powerfully reminded us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, we're made new. Thank you. Amen.
And let's close in prayer. God, we thank you. We praise you for your many blessings. We praise you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We praise you that he came to show us what the new heaven is going to be one day and that we have access to it even now. Would you bless my brothers and sisters as we go today? Would you bless them with the joy of your presence? Would you bless them with the joy of everything that you have given in their lives? And would you bless them with your presence? We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, be blessed. Go have a great day, drive safe, and enjoy the snow.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.